But it's been on my heart, I guess, for a while to talk a little bit about, I guess, last year, talk a little bit about, I guess, everything that's happened over the last 12 months and some things that are good news for us as a congregation. I think it's good for us to think about what happened over the last 12 months and maybe ask ourselves some questions about, I guess, what's the Lord been teaching us as a congregation and where he's leading us. I guess this is the kind of thing we often save for members' meetings, but I really think it's such a blessing, really, to the church as a whole that it's worth the little bit of extra time that I've taken up and I'm eating into Mark's sermon, so it's okay. I know 2017 was, I guess, in many ways a bit of a whirlwind. Kind of felt like 2017 happened to us as a church. But here we are, and I think it's good to just bring things full circle. Maybe the best place to start is finances. Everyone loves talking about money. I guess the last few years prior to 2017, Calvary kind of operated at a deficit, as in there was more going out than coming in. And so it was, I guess, such a pleasure to meet with the budget committee in December and hear that and kind of review 2017 and kind of see that this was the first year in a while that didn't happen. That the start of, 12 months ago, January 2017, we met and we put kind of new measures in place, new structures in place. And as well as that, us as a congregation are giving more and supporting the church more. And so that was such a good news. On top of that, some of you might remember or might not remember in January last year, there was a little bit of a scramble to take greater care of our pastor. I know we talked a lot about it at the time, and we kind of petered out, unfortunately, and we just want to maybe dig into that again. So many of you know Mike and Rachel and Owen and Rosie and Finn. If you don't, Mike's the bearded guy to my left, who's usually up here preaching on a Sunday morning. He's not, coincidentally, this Sunday morning. But Mike and Rachel came over about 13, 14 years ago and took over a small church, about 4 or 5 people, and they stayed and they prayed and they kind of faithfully opened God's word for the last over a decade. And it's definitely been a blessing to us all. They're majority supported from the US, and the end of 2016, that was definitely fluctuating. And Mike was considering branching out into the part-time delivery business, which was, maybe noble and right in many ways, except for the fact that the burden for caring for a pastor is really on us as a church. At the time, we talked about some really cool passages in 1 Corinthians 9 and 1 Timothy 5 that talks about these things. But we quickly, 12 months ago, we put in these kind of measures in place. They weren't perfect, but it was a good structure to be able to care for a pastor, that they weren't struggling for just real basic stuff we're talking about here. But it mustn't stop there, and we're glad that we haven't. It was great last month to meet together and meet with the budget committee again and kind of take extra steps towards caring for our pastor. And obviously we want to keep taking those steps towards ultimately really paying him a full wage. That's the right thing we should be doing. We are, I guess, getting there. We are going to keep taking steps to reach that goal. If you would like to support that, you can support the church. We've always kind of maybe pointed to the side for a tithe box. But we've said before that if only 40 people get 40 euro every week, then that would be the church fully financed, including a fully paid pastor. And so it's not really a whole lot, but that's just something for us to think about as a congregation or think about personally. I do have to say I walked away really encouraged 12 months ago, or sorry, not 12 months ago, last month, as we sat down and we were kind of reviewing finances. And it really is a blessing that we as a church aren't in that kind of precarious position of more money going out than coming in. I think it's unwise. And it's just so great to see, I guess, in black and white how the Lord has provided through the generosity of some of you, but also through other means. And it was definitely really encouraging. I walked away really encouraged from that. On top of that, I guess we've moved to Deer Park in 2018. We're going to talk about that in a second. But it does, I guess, reduce our flexibility. It reduces the availability of a permanent space. But it also frees up money that we're not like investing so much into this permanent building, huge, massive building in the city centre that we really weren't using all that much. Also, on top of that, this is the first time we as a church are in a position to, I guess, put away a small bit of money every month to think about saving, that in 7 years, 8 years, 9 years' time, that we might be in a position to think about owning our own building. So I know that's really a long-term journey we're talking about here, but I think it's a really good step, and it's a really good direction that we're moving in, and it's maybe a sign of maturity that we're taking those steps and thinking about the future, thinking about what will happen when we have a whole bunch of teenagers instead of little kids, and it's exciting. Maybe the last bit of good news in regards to administration and finances. I know this is a little bit bitty and we're going on, but last bit of news in regards to kind of finances and administration was during the week, we started a process 2 years ago of applying for charity status, and during the week we got that from the charity regulator. So that was 2 years, and it's kind of come full circle. So it's really fantastic news, and definitely a long journey, and we'll be talking more about it in kind of weeks and months to come, what that means and how it's a blessing to us, but that's just something to note. So that's kind of finances, start and end of the year. The middle of the year was quite busy. I know Mike travelled a bit. He went to the US twice, and I'm sure many of you remember the 28th of June. A particularly interesting day. I know a lot of you know the story well, how Mike went to California to preach, or to teach in a conference, Christ-centered preaching workshop there. He spoke one day and then got up the next morning, decided to go for a run to clear his head. Got hit by a car, was thrown 20 or 30 foot, woke up in hospital. He's alive. Doctors aren't sure how he's going to recover. Initially, there was fractures in his spine. In the x-rays, and then later on they're not there, and his spine is fine, and his legs are fine. Within days he's starting to walk, and within the week he's out of hospital. And then kind of begins this kind of weeks and weeks and weeks of kind of therapy and physio and just getting better, all the while Rachel is more and more pregnant with Finn, and then all of a sudden they're back. And it was just kind of seems like this strange dream in many ways. It's a bit surreal. I know I was chatting to Mike about it during the week. There's just this surreal thing that happened actually 7 months ago today. So that's strange. But it's yeah, I guess being a little bit of a blur. But I do remember, I guess, that first Sunday that the kind of news broke, and that kind of incredible sense of unity in the congregation as we kind of met together. There was kind of this unsureness. How's Mike doing? We're not sure. But everyone was just like, had this overwhelming desire to serve each other, to love each other, to care for each other. And people were really, I guess, stepping up to serve the church in new ways. And it was just this really great closeness and love for each other that was really, really special. Then that was followed up by the incredible news that, I guess the incredible news of God's demonstration of his provision and his protection for Mike in a really incredible way, preserving his life when it could have very easily been lost, and leaving him with no serious damage in any way, shape or form, other than a little bump on his hip. And I know there's much that could be said about this. There's probably a whole sermon in here, and we might hear one. Might be in the book or something someday. But I'm just so grateful for the Lord's protection and provision for Mike. And you can ask Mike and Rachel just how the Lord provided in so many different random ways that I presume really weren't random at all, that the Lord really orchestrated and protected Mike. And I'm just so grateful. And I guess I want to bring it up that we don't forget too quickly how the Lord has stepped in and protected our pastor, that he has provided in abundance and he's protected in abundance our pastor. And I think we should just remember that as a congregation, because it really will move our hearts towards just gratitude and worship, you know. It wasn't long, Mike and Rachel weren't back long with the kids, when I guess things started to come to head with the landlord in Penrose Quay. This was maybe another peculiar situation in many ways, where we were consistently told we were these great tenants, we had this great relationship with our landlord, yet when it came to, I guess, negotiating a new lease, he was completely inflexible, ultimately we had to leave. And now the building sits vacant. And it's quite strange that kind of there's just an empty building there. And I think if we had it our way, we probably would have hung on there another couple of years. Even though we were kind of pretty full, we were very full maybe. And it seems that the Lord kind of had orchestrated that it was the time really just to move on, even though it would be hard work, even though we would be stretched a little bit, even though it would be, I guess, we'd have to get out of our comfort zone in many ways. And so, through the Lord's gentle and persistent guidance, we ended up here. And you've heard it say that we're really grateful to be here. We're excited to be in place. We're excited to be in a place that, I guess, could benefit from someone paying rent to them consistently. They're a school that needs support, and they're definitely a school that's a blessing to the community. And the Lord really firmly opened the door to this place, and so we're kind of asking ourselves now, why are we here? Are we called to this location for a reason? How can we be a blessing to this school or this community? And so can I just ask that you would be praying with us as we're asking those questions, and really just looking to the Lord that he would lead us. It's an exciting time for us as a church, and it's great to be here. It really is. I know the teams this morning, they might disagree, but I'm sure it's just going to be fantastic for us as a church, and very unifying. So that's quite a lot of the year, really. Somewhere in there also, I have to say, we had the blessing of having 6 more guys come on the leadership team. I can see a few of them dotted around the place. We had Mark and Con and Ricky and Rick and Alex and Kian come on board. I know it's certainly been a blessing to me, certainly been a blessing to Mike. And it's just so great to have guys on the leadership team with such a wide range of experience, guys with such a wide range of backgrounds, and yet they all love the Lord, they all love the church, and they all love you guys. And so it's really exciting for the future to have that sort of leadership team in place. Can I just ask that you continue praying for us, that we'd continue to gel together, that as we meet, that the Holy Spirit would be there and he would be kind of uniting us in love and in vision and direction. There would be that cohesiveness, I guess, as such. So do be praying for us. I think there's much more that could be said, really, about everything that's been going on in 2017. That's really just a whistle-stop journey through it. But I just want to finish with this, just a small encouragement from 1 Corinthians 12. It says this: "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but the members might have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together." And Paul puts forward this idea of one body and many members. And that's us. That's us. As I think of us as a kind of a church family that comes together on a Sunday morning, we're not just people who go to church. We're not even people who do church. We are the church. We are the body of Christ. If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're brought into that body. You're baptized into that body. You're brought into fellowship with your brothers and sisters in Christ. And I don't want us to miss how, I guess, incredible that is. This adoption, this grafting in. We're grafted into each other, but we're also grafted into Christ. We're fellow citizens and saints and members of the household of God. But it doesn't stop there. We're all His, yes, but we're also all unique. We're unique people. We're unique personalities. We have unique giftings. We have unique abilities. Such, I guess, great diversity in the body of Christ. Not just in appearance, but in function. And yet all of us have the same common goal. We're all united in the same, I guess, root. Diversity isn't just acceptable. It's needed. It's essential. It's what we need in the church. And the body can't function properly if we're all hands or we're all eyes. There must be different parts, or there must be different gifts. Otherwise, we wouldn't work. We wouldn't work as a body. The parts of the body work together. The eyes and ears don't serve themselves, but they serve the body. The hands don't just feed and protect themselves. They feed and protect the body. The heart doesn't just supply blood to itself. It supplies blood to the body. And that's it. That's us. We're this beautiful blend of personalities and giftings and abilities and weaknesses and failures, yeah. And we're all just called into service of one another for the common goal, to the glory of God. I just want to encourage you with that this morning. I know this is a bit off the cuff, but I know where we're worshiping. I was just thinking of that verse of that we are a treasure in a jar of clay. That's really all we are, That the Lord is really just working through us. What are we bringing to the table? Not a whole lot, to be honest. But the Lord chooses to use us, that we're useful for the Master's work. And that's just so exciting for me. And the only way we can really do this is by, that verse in Matthew 11, take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So can I just encourage you as we kind of go forward in 2018? Gaze at Christ. Love the church. Love the body. And do it all to the glory of God. And we'll just keep growing together and growing in love for Him. So we're just going to break for a couple of minutes, grab a coffee. We'll meet back here with the preaching of God's Word.